Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. Today, we are the guests. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, God, can't listen to these three idiots on a drive. But before you give up, we might have something for you. So me, Zach Thompson, Jack Frimston and Ben Owen have decided to start a second business called a sales consultancy. Because we'd spotted that as well as booking meetings via WAM and training salespeople, there's lots more that we could help people with and lots more problems that were coming up after the fact. So, Ben, I'll chuck over to you. Ben is our operations director, probably the most handsome man at WAM as well. But, Ben, why would you say that we've started a sales consultancy?
I guess from my opinion, it's one of those, obviously we have a meeting and we've been, you know, working with clients for, you know, the last few years and I guess just identified there's probably a gap in the market and also just genuinely people want help. I think, you know, people's sales processes aren't always very ironed out and it isn't straightforward and simple and, you know, well, you've got people that are upskilled. Some people aren't, and there's just disparities everywhere. I think for me, like my main role at WAM is, you know, how do we streamline things? How do we make things, you know, operationally great? How what's the structure look like? What does the business look like? And I think from my perspective, working with, you know, specific clients, some are great at it and some aren't, and some just need a bit of a helping hand. Yeah, so I think for me, it's just a case of helping more people with selling.
Yeah, and it feels like you don't think it's going to be hard to replicate what you do in other people's businesses. You've obviously spotted things that you think we can easily replicate that if you've got a sales team or some sort of go-to-market strategy.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. I think, you know, we've obviously, you know, over the last couple of years, fixed various issues and, you know, maximize things where we can and you know, made improvements along the way. I think one, not to blow my own trumpet, is like one skill that I feel like I can bring to the table usually is that I can identify an issue and then come up with a resolution and that continuous improvement piece and you know, project style work and change and things like that. So yeah, certainly it's just a case of how have we implemented things in our business? What's right for then another business? Might not be the same approach, but there's a certain process to follow in terms of, like, you know, project wise is which avenues do you go down? What's the best software, for example, and things like that. So yeah, it's just a process to be replicated, I guess.
Nice. And you really are handsome. Jack, for you, what would you say is the primary reason you're excited about setting up a sales consultancy?
It's a great question, and thank you. And it's, I will say it's great to have Ben on the podcast because as people that listen to us and follow We Have a Meeting, they'll know that we aren't the brains. We're hardly even the face. If he's the brains and the face, what do we do full time? But I think one of our I'm going to blow my own trumpet if that's all right, and I'm going to blow Zach's as well if you don't mind. I would say one of the, I guess, skill sets and superpowers that I think we have is taking things that are complex and making them simple. And far too many sales leaders and directors and managing directors make things so complex that it's difficult to understand, so that you don't understand the processes, you don't understand the structure of the business. So I think our job at a sales consultancy, and it's kind of there in the name as well, we've not gone for some big fancy title, it is as simple as it comes. If you want meetings, we have a meeting. If you want a sales consultancy, just ask, a sales consultancy. So I think that's probably like one of our big skill sets is how do we simplify it? I think also we've now got this experience from We Have a Meeting and what has happened over the last 3 years is people would come to us for meetings and say, but also I've got this, or also this team needs training, or also how do I make my team faster? How do I bring in new processes and things like that? And the best businesses for me are built on, like, the demand is there. So when we've got people coming to us saying like, oh, I'm also struggling with this problem, do you know anyone? And we go, well, actually, that's something that we do. It just makes sense though. We're not pigeonholed as we have a meeting is lead generation, top of the funnel. But actually, there's so much more that goes into that, whether it be closing deals, whether it be pipeline, whether it be training, recruitment. And we've all got a wealth of knowledge where we can kind of now implement that into other businesses. So I guess, Zach, for you, let's talk about, we're big into our, like, we like to geek out on our sales and our psychology. But if we look at, like, sales as a whole and business in 2024, what is the state of sales in 2024? Where are businesses struggling? What are going to be some of the hardest problems that they're going to be facing over the next year and moving forward into the next decade?
That's a really, really good question. I think a lot of it is around predictability and consistency. That's the typical issue people come to us with. They have no predictable processes in place, and that could be from a selling methodology. They've got salespeople who just kind of wing it, and you can typically see this when people say things like, we're great when we get in front of people. As soon as people see it, they're just wowed by it. What that really means is I show them something, when they like it, I don't really know what happens or why they like it or what they like about it. I've got no idea what happens there. I'm just going to say that means we're really good. They don't really know what's happened there. And the next piece is kind of around the consistency. So typically you're hiring in salespeople, you're starting to look at different tech stacks, you might be looking at AI, but maybe you're putting them in such a way where you're seeing these huge peaks, we're booking lots of meetings, we're getting in front of people, we're getting lots of proposals out there. And then these big troughs where you're not getting that, or nothing's closing or nothing's converting. And really, if you think of We Have a Meeting as the vehicle that drives you to the gym, a sales consultancy is the personal trainer that takes you through the workout and shows you, here's how you get consistent, predictable results every day. So it's probably a great answer. And I can see why I'm in the seat that I am. So you're all welcome.
It's a great analogy. I've not heard you use that, but I'm certain that I'll hear you use it again on many other podcasts. So thank you for using it. Ben Owen, so you came in to the business at a point where the business started, for people that have been following We Have a Meeting, Zach started in his bedroom using a mobile phone and Google. I came in, I was lucky enough, he said, you can actually have an office. By office, he gave me a phone booth in a co-working space. And I was grateful. And I was working off a mobile. And I remember saying to him in my first month, I said, is it possible to get a dialer system, a cheap £30 a month dialer? It will make it easier when it comes to like connectivity. He said no. And that's just a testament to his character. But over time, he did let me have a dialer. When you came into the business in August, we were probably 6, 7, 8 employees strong, somewhere around that point. We had quite a few big clients, and we'd started using different dialers, but there was a lot of like working off Excel spreadsheets. There was a lot of like just manual work, no processes. So I guess from you as an operational brain, if we are going to take you on a fractional element and we're going to take you into businesses to solve their problems, can you talk about some of the key sales problems and processes that you put in place for us that other people might be struggling with?
Yeah, I guess in terms of like process, when I came in, it was just like, how do we maximize the data that we're going to go through? And also it's just like, how can we speed the guys up? Like, how can we get them to just be belting through the dials and almost getting through unnecessary, you know, people and save that time element? So I guess, yeah, I think when I came in, I think it was probably, yeah, Excel sheets, moving down using a dialer, you know, either one by one or, you know, so you look at dials there is probably, you know, maybe 100 a day or whatever it might be. And then it's a case of, you know, we looked at various different softwares, various different dialers, what works for us as well. It's not necessarily that what we've done and, you know, what we have in place even now would work for another business, but it's just around what's the right fit, what's the right solution for us. Obviously we went with Frontspin to start with, which, you know, massively sped us up and changed the game, I'd say, for us. Obviously now we've evolved even into Salesforce and we've got integrated dialers. So Aircall, Nox. We've also used Aurum as well. So, you know, it's about trying to find the maximum output we can get with the least amount of input to some degree. You stack the odds, right? You want as many physical conversations as possible for the team to be able to then book. I think that's one major fix. I think also just, you know, in general around like, you know, it can be anything, team structure, how do we process things? When you look at a team, you have people that could be upskilled in one area massively, and then some, you know, that are lacking. What's the methodology being used? Is everyone on the same page? When someone's handed over a lead to somebody else, are they going to use the same process, or is it going to be something then completely changed? You know, ultimately you want at least a level of consistency across a full team. So what does that look like? How does it look like from the very start of the journey till the end of the journey? And ultimately those processes, you know, especially, you know, bigger companies can become really convoluted, and then you have someone that's, you know, on the shop floor, whatever, is doing something completely different to what's expected up at director level. But actually the main thing is what does that sales process look like, what it should be, and then also sort of implementing that. And then you're also not relying on individuals to some degree. It's you know, I'm sure everyone's been in businesses where, you know, sales or not, where there's one really key member of the team and you think, I know, what would we do if we lose that person? Yes, we still obviously have that, but also how do you get everybody else up to that level, and how do you have it so there's this element of, oh, there's a team structure there, and whether you swap in or out, everyone's on the same page, they're doing the same things, they're doing the right methods, etc. So yeah, can be very varied.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, Ben, that as well as all those things that you're great at, I'm going to blow your trumpet now and I'm going to play a bloody tune. But I think the other thing that you're really good at is being able to say, why did that campaign work with that particular ICP? What were the metrics in terms of times a day when we were getting hold of people to have the most success? What ICP was the most successful? What was the conversion rate, the delivery rate? How did we improve that? How did it progress throughout a campaign? What were the variables that made that happen? So to your point, it could be we're hiring in a new person in a new office, but if someone's also thinking, well, I want to start in a totally different geography, build a team targeting a new demographic, using some of the tricks and the techniques that you've done across numerous clients that we've got in numerous sectors, you'd be able to replicate that and spot, here's the best chance of success and here's the variables you need to be tracking against. So that's my little tune on your trumpet, Ben. I hope you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So Jack, let's say sales is a funny thing, right? So sometimes I think people, even when we're cold calling, oh, well, nothing's ever perfect. That's how it feels. It feels like this is a uphill battle and pushing the boulder up the hill. But is that just the way it is? So if I'm sat there now thinking, well, no sales process or sales team or sales practice is ever perfect, what does it actually feel like to have something that needs to be changed? The gap between, well, nothing's ever perfect, to actually maybe there's some symptoms there that need action.
If it boils down to our approach as well, doesn't it, Zach? Like if we think of like psychology and like a lot of our sales approach is based on like Alcoholics Anonymous and therapy and things like that. So if someone's in their comfort zone as a business, depends, because we work with, over the years, we've worked with a variety of different businesses, from big enterprise clients, SaaS, tech. We've had companies that supply workwear, recycling bins. Like we have had the weird and the wonderful, and we've found ways to make it work. I think if you're in your comfort zone and you're content with how it is and you're turning over, it's like, why? Well, we know this, that people don't want to change. People don't want to challenge the status quo. So why do they need to change? Is it like, if you listen to a business story of they've been doing the same thing for 6 years, if they're happy with that and all they want to do is they want to take a wage out of it because they're content and that's all they need? Or is it the bigger picture? They're planning to sell. They've got investors. We want to really focus on that desired future state, and we want to find out if they're motivated to change. And Ben was alluding to some like great problems there, like if you've got if this is you and you're listening to this and you're turning up, you could be turning over a great amount of money, but people that come through our door sometimes is we've got one monster client. If they went away, we'd be screwed. Well, that's a great problem to have, like because you've got a monster client that's paying the bills, but what is the risk? Where are you at? And I think like even smaller things is like just that methodology on the floor, like what is a lead? Like Ben was saying, like what are all the different elements that make it? Like we're no strangers to the fact that we could always improve. Like we're always open to new ideas, and we're constantly taking accountability and holding up the mirror. But I think it's for other businesses, like you say, like the personal trainer analogy is a great place. Like if you don't know how to, what's got you from there to there isn't going to get, what's got you from A to B isn't going to get you from B to C. And that's where a sales consultancy comes in. And it's like any consultancy, it's just there to make you think, challenge you, and give you a new way of thinking of things that you haven't before. That could be a new product you're focusing on, a go-to-market fit. It could be messaging, different messaging. There's different elements where sales and marketing blur the lines, that it kind of crosses over in terms of all of those different things. I guess this is probably a great place to bat it back to you, Zach. How? Okay, so someone's listening to this and they go, cool, bring in a sales consultancy. I'm game for those guys. Turning up at my office in Scunthorpe, we'll have a laugh. What are we going to do? How are we going to help them? What are three mucks that are motivated by death and sales going to talk about?
It's a good point. And I mean, the tact won't ever change. We don't know if we can help. That's the first thing, okay? And the process is going to be the same. So it's going to be initially people are going to invite us in for an audit. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at the business using our three varied skill sets, and we're going to look at every possible bottleneck to growth, every pain point they will be experiencing now, how that will manifest in the short, mid, and long term, and then come up with a bit of a battle plan of how to attack and fix all those different areas. Once that's done, we'll either give you that back and say, right, there you go, there's the areas, and that might get a light bulb going, okay, well, I actually know how to fix these myself. I just need you to shine the light on the areas. Or we would then work with you with a plan of how we can fix all of those different elements and then hand the keys back over to you and say it should run just fine now. So that's how it's going to work. In terms of how to set that process up and start that conversation, how do we do that, Jack?
We've got a website, okay. www.asalesconsultancy.com. We've got a waiting list at the moment. I think the website broke yesterday because there was so much demand, which is a great place to be. Luckily, we had Ben pedaling as fast as he could underneath. But you said something really interesting there. And I think one of the things that I've always thought with business is if you want to get from A to B, it will cost you, but how do you pay? Do you pay with time or money? And I think that's the reason we've created this consultancy is we've both got over a decade's worth of experience in sales. Some of the years we probably wouldn't want to count because I think we were too busy partying in London and things like that. But we've got that experience. Ben's got a wealth of knowledge when it comes to operational and his experience. So it's one of those that you bring somebody in that can fast track you and can make you see the blind spots and see what the surprises are. Like when you're running at something, when it's your own baby, especially if you're in a relationship, you tend not to see what the blind spots are. But then when you take that problem to a friend and you talk about this is how I'm feeling at the moment, this is what's going on, it's very easy for an outside eye to spot and say, well, this is where you're probably going wrong. And it's because of this. And that's what a therapist does. A therapist just gets you to come to the conclusions. And I think that's our goal. And that is like, we're so motivated by sales. There's so much to it. We're big on systems and methodology. And if we can help a couple of companies around the UK, around the world, get better and get their products and services out to the people that it helps, then great. Because sales isn't a dirty word. Sales isn't like a scummy thing. You're genuinely helping people. Like some of the best pieces of software that we use, like we use Cognizant, we use Jiminy. They make our business so much more effective, so much quicker, and make us so much more money. So like the right solutions help the right people. Ben, anything to add on that?
Yeah, I think it's just, it's one of those, isn't it? It's just around trying to help people where possible. And I think when you're in it sometimes, especially when you call it being sort of in the business and on the business, we've referred that with us sometimes. And as we grow, sometimes you're in the weeds too much to see the bigger picture. And sometimes you need to try and step back and just, you know, have a holistic view of it really. And sometimes the best thing is that somebody else comes in and actually outlays everything and says, actually, these are your problem areas. And I think one key thing for me is like, it's all around setting up for success. So as you say, A to B, but then what you don't want people is then go, we leave that scenario. We've been working with someone for 6 months or a year to get them to point B. We leave and then it goes back to point A. We're not there to try and ultimately manage further down the line. For me, everything is around, you know, being sustainable in terms of process or whatever it might be. So how do you simplify something so therefore it stays in place? How do you deal with that change management piece where it's like, this is a really big organizational change for, you know, employees at the end of the day? How do you get them to keep doing the same things and same processes? And what we'd like to see is that you step away, you know, when you chat to them 6 months later and it's like, not only have we sustained at point B, we've actually got all of these other ideas and things in place to move to that next level now as well. And, you know, we've created so much efficiency over here. We've got so much time to now run forward and try these different things. So it's just about, you know, unlocking doors really and helping where possible. I think if we went into a business and we said, you know, we've done the audit, we actually think we can't help. And, you know, ego's to one side, really, isn't it? It's just like, you know what, there's nothing there to be done from us. But, you know, knowing us three, we'll be sure we'll be able to pick a few holes in there. But yeah, that's it from mine.
And then I love our approach when it comes to psychology. So, Zach, I'm going to hit you with this question. Why shouldn't people work with us? Not why should they. Why shouldn't? Give me all the bad news up front. Tell the audience, if they're listening, thinking, I like these schmucks. Three men and a podcast. It sounds good. Why shouldn't they work with us?
The number one is it's not free. You might say, but you're a new business. I can give you exposure to my network. And sadly, exposure doesn't pay the bills or for our babies to be fed. So that will never be possible. The second is you could potentially fix this yourself. So we're not going to be reinventing the wheel here. Sometimes it just takes a third party, a second opinion to look at things from higher up and maybe spot things you couldn't see. But there's nothing to say you couldn't do that yourself. And the third thing is there is no self-development without self-awareness. So if you think you're going to be not open to change, not open to being challenged, not open to new approaches and change, it probably isn't going to be the right thing for you. It requires you to really take your hands off the wheel and let someone drive for a bit.
Beautiful answer.
Thank you.
Is there anything else we want to share about our exciting new baby? Obviously, it's called a sales consultancy. If you're struggling, just ask. ASC, very, very clever.
I'll just list off while we're here the things, like, as a quick shopping list that we might be able to help with. So the first one, sales process. Okay, so as a whole, your sales process, we'll be able to take it apart, rebuild it, and leave you with something that's bespoke, personalized, to get that kind of predictability and that consistency. The second part is sales team training and development. So that could be everything from recruiting the right types of people to having the right onboarding and training and then developing your existing salespeople again so they can help you achieve those results. And it's not that bottleneck that you have to worry about. The third is market expansion, and that could be go to market, like the first time we're bringing a new product or service to market, how do I do it? Or it could be breaking into new areas or sectors, how do I go about doing that? The fourth one is sales enablement, so that revenue piece, everything from the tech that I put in, the reporting that I put in, having things in place that enable the sales team to perform at their best, and having something that's repeatable should you bring in a whole new sales team next week. And then the last one would be the performance and the predictability of the whole thing. So how do I have something that performs? What metrics am I tracking? How do I turn those relevant taps on or off? And then how do I make it so it's predictable? So those are the things, if you're thinking, well, what do you actually help with? Those are the things that you should be asking yourself. Have I got a good grasp on those things? Or maybe do I need that second opinion?
Beautifully put. Thank you for listening to the We Have a Meeting podcast. If you are interested and you want to register for the waiting list, it's www.asalesconsultancy.com. That link will be available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And hopefully we'll see you soon. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.